and welcome to NextPod, VP NextGen's podcast made for veterinary students and young professionals who want to know what's next. I'm your host, Sarah Said, and this episode will be all about passion. To talk about it with us today is four incredible members of our next squad. So we've got Dr. Jeff Tinsley, a second-year dermatology resident who works at an animal dermatology clinic. We have Danielle Lance, who is a third-year veterinary student at the University of Sydney, and she's interested in oncology. And Dana Chuchita, a third-year vet student at Oregon State University who loves integrative and wildlife medicine. Hi, everyone.
Hi there.
Hello.
Hi.
So I'm really excited to have you all here because I know you all have different passions, and finding your passion in this field can be quite challenging or overwhelming sometimes. So before we really dive more into it, I was just wondering if you can sort of introduce yourselves quickly and just talk about what your passion is and why. Is it your passion? Like, what kind of draws you to that specific area? I guess, Jeff, you can start out.
Sure. So I originally got into dermatology in an interesting way. So I graduated in 2017 from Tuskegee University, and I was interested in surgery. That kind of shifted a little bit when I got into general practice. So I did a one-year rotating internship here and got a little bit burnt out, went into general practice for a bit to take a break. And the long story short would be I saw lots of patients that really needed help in derm, and I didn't have a lot of dermatology experience from school. And from there, that kind of shifted into wanting to help these patients. I actually had a few clients that were interested in euthanizing their dogs because the skin was so terrible. And so I was able to help them. And I also went into a few dinner lectures from dermatologists, and they kind of encouraged me to consider it as a full-time specialty. So I went to the National Derm Conference, and it's kind of history from there.
Awesome. Sounds like a very interesting weight transition. And so Danielle, what about you?
So I actually had my dog have cancer when I was in undergrad, and my parents were kind of against chemotherapy. Like, they didn't really know anything about oncology, and I really didn't either. But I kind of convinced them let's just go see the specialist, you know, here, get more information and go from there. So we did that. We ended up doing radiation and chemotherapy and everything. But I think that's kind of where my passion for it stems, is that I just really loved it. And I think I can really connect. And after I graduated undergrad, I ended up working in an oncology department as a nurse for a year and a half. And then I went to emergency. So I do love emergency also. But I think my true passion is oncology. Yes, it is sad. Patients do die, but I also think there's a lot of misinformation out there, and it makes me happy when you can just kind of see people give them a different perspective. It's not the same as in people. Like, the goal isn't to make them be sick, vomiting, and everything. Like, they get less signs. It's more just to make them comfortable and improve their quality of life. And it's really rewarding to give patients longer time than they would have had. I guess there is that fear of, I have debated, do I want to specialize? Because it is a lot. And how Jeff said he got burnt out in his rotate internship, that's definitely something I worry about. But at the end of the day, even if I talk myself out of it, I think I wouldn't be as happy doing anything else, for the long term. So I'm in my third year and just gonna go into my clinical year. I have some rotations at oncology hospitals, and then I can go from there.
Wow, thank you. And Dana, how about you?
So I'm interested in integrative veterinary medicine, which, if people are not familiar, it's just basically the combination of using Western, conventional medicine and treatment, along with alternative therapy or treatment. So that can include acupuncture, herb therapy, laser therapy, etc. So currently I am working on getting my CVA, which is the Certificate of Veterinary Acupuncture at Qi University in Florida, United States. So it's been a pretty interesting journey, but I have to say it's pretty difficult managing my time learning, I would say, like alternative traditional Chinese veterinary medicine along with the conventional education that I'm receiving at a vet school right now. But how it all started was basically when I was exposed to alternative therapy as a child coming from an Asian household. My parents were not against medications, but they wanted to treat like colds or headaches with food therapy or herbs. And I think I didn't really know much about it as a child. And if there is interest out there who wants to treat animals not using modern medications and they want to just try something else, or they tried all the modern medications out there and they just wanted another option out there, I just wanted to be another person that can provide medical knowledge for them. So that's where it all stemmed out from. And wildlife medicine, I think it mostly comes from my passion of international medicine. So when I got to travel to Belize and Japan, I noticed that other countries did other treatments differently from America. So I was only exposed to veterinary medicine practices in America, but realized that not everybody practices medicine the same way. So I think I was very interested in that aspect, and I was exposed to One Health from my study abroad. And then I realized that conservation of wildlife animals is also important, not only for the animals, but also for the people who live with the animals. So it's pretty broad, but my motto as of right now is to work with one animal at a time, one community, and hopefully one country at a time.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like all of you have chosen or gone for your passion based on experiences that you've had that have like sort of shaped you or guided you. Yeah, I was just wondering, like, what is your advice, I guess, to younger vet students or even professionals who maybe are almost graduating, to find their own passion and feel sure about it? Because I feel like when I think of passion, sometimes you're so passionate about something, but there's not often that that market for it, or maybe it is a really challenging thing, like you're saying. You know, both of you were talking about burnout. Like, is there kind of a decision process that maybe all of you went through to say, okay, I really want to focus on this, and I'm going to shift my career in that direction? And whoever wants to answer can jump in.
Yeah, I'd be happy to give it a shot. So, when I was in vet school and kind of, you know, thinking about what I wanted to do, I was very into the idea of specializing. And I think if that's anywhere in your heart as a vet student, or even in for general practitioners who are out there who are, I think it's certainly easier when you're just out or new grads. But it's good to know that you can always switch gears. So several of the dermatologists in my company came from general practice, and I think it's easiest if you're interested in a rotating internship. I've got a few friends who graduated, did that, and have kind of circled back to the specialty world. My main advice, I think, would be to try to get into contact with either the specialist, or if it's not a specialty, you know, the types of vets that you're looking to work with or in that field, and get a little experience with them. So if you like derm, come see me. If you like surgery, go spend time with a surgeon if you can, even if it's just for a short period of time, or, you know, you only have a day or two to work with. If you can do a whole rotation, awesome. But try to spend some time with the type of people that you're looking to shape your career towards.
Yeah. And in terms of passion in general too, like if somebody is unsure, is there like a pressure, and this is just like a question I thought of, like just wondering, you know, from all of your experiences in vet school, is there like a pressure to specialize at all or to have like a certain specific area that you're leaning towards even in general practice?
I personally would say that I feel a pressure not to specialize in a way, just because there's a lot more that goes with it, the training and everything. And when I say I want to specialize, people are sometimes taken aback by it and just, oh, general practice is great. You know, it's a good quality of life. You don't want to do an internship and residency and everything. So I kind of feel like there's a pressure not to sometimes, or I might say, oh, I want to do oncology. And they just say, oh, that's really sad. Like, why would you want to do that? But I think that makes it a reason why I kind of want to do it more. But I feel like there's a pressure not to specialize in a way.
Wow, that's really interesting. And do you feel like when people say those things to you, like what is your advice to other people, I guess, who are in the same boat as you that maybe feel like discouraged when they hear that?
I kind of tell them like my side of why I want to do it, especially farmers, when I explain that chemotherapy is like different for humans versus animals, like they never see it in that way. And it's not that they're like accepting of it. They're just like, oh, I never realized. So just kind of educating, because I feel like there are fields that people don't know about. Like people might say, ew, dermatology, skin, I don't like that. But you have to have people who want to do it, because there are animals who are going to get cancer, have skin issues, that are around the world and need help. Like someone has to do it. So why not you?
Yeah, for sure. And Dana, your side of your interests and the way that you would like to approach vet med, you said it was different than some of the things that you've been taught in other places. What is it like for you when you're trying to express your desires and your passions and your goals nowadays?
That's a very good question. I often get it asked by my peers as well. I think it's all about like what you believe in, and if that's your passion, I feel like people should, you know, work on trying to get experience, and how Dr. Jeff mentioned that you should just try it out and see if it's for you. For integrative veterinary medicine, I would say it's pretty hard, just because the education you get is pretty much a different language than the conventional veterinary education you would get at any animal hospital or vet school. But once you find a community that you like, for example, that was Chi University for me, but it might be other schools or other industries for other people. I think it's like the community is going to support you. And if you feel supported, that's where your passion lies. But yeah, I would say it's pretty hard. And it's a field that is still growing. Not everyone, I would say, believes in it or has strong opinion against it. And I think that's totally fine. It's just what I feel like I am comfortable practicing and believing in. But I would say like everyone should just stay open-minded, whether it's GP and specialization and it's not the niche or field that you have knowledge in, but just be willing to listen to other people's opinion and see if it's something you want to also believe in. And if it's not, just accepting that there are differences and going along that way.
Mm-hmm. And I found it interesting. Oh, interesting. Sorry. Because you told me earlier today that you technically are switching to an interest in wildlife medicine and exotics as opposed to zoo vet med. And I was just wondering if you could elaborate a little bit and explain, you know, first of all, why did you feel like your passion switched, or your the specialty, I guess, switched, and just explaining the difference of the two as well, if that's okay.
Yeah, of course. So zoo veterinary medicine, I would say, is like someone who wants to work at a zoo, whether it's to practice conservation or, you know, just to take care of the animals that are located in a zoo facility. Well, wildlife tends to be a little bit more research oriented or more traveling One Health aspect. So there's a different options you can go with wildlife med and exotic medicine. I would say are people who's truly interested in pocket pets or reptiles or birds or amphibians that are brought as a pet from a client or owner to an animal hospital. So that it all sounds similar but slightly different. And personally, I would just say I just switched gears from going from zoo to wildlife is because I love the interaction with people and I wanted to more focus on conservation of local animals that are native to a specific area. While zoo animals, I felt like I just wouldn't be able to have that connection with the local people there as well. So I just said I would rather interact with people, whether it's as an exotic vet or a wildlife vet.
Yeah, and I feel like sometimes trying something out or trying to head in a certain direction and figuring out that you don't like it is just as helpful as figuring out what you do like.
I totally agree with that.
You're eliminating sort of. And that's something that I feel like most of us don't want to do. Like nobody wants to do something and realize you don't like it. It's, you feel like it's draining maybe, or like it throws you off the path, but I feel like everything happens and plays out in a certain way on purpose, which yeah. But I wanted to ask you all, cause you mentioned burnout and I don't want to forget about it. Does burnout play a role in terms of like Jeff, for you, like Dr. Jeff, did it play a role to figure out kind of what your career was going to be like in the long term? And you kind of said yes already, but I'm just thinking more about like, does the passion outweigh the burnout, or is it the other way around? Does that make sense?
Yeah, and it's a really good question. So for me, I think it helps to kind of like, you know, define and look at burnout a little bit. And this is all, you know, just my opinion, but I felt like I was physically exhausted with what I was doing at the time. So I felt like I burnt out working 80 hours a week during my rotating internship. And my goals at the time were very focused on the surgery. And I learned more about it and kind of realized that it's not where I wanted to take my life and my goals. And so for a while, I really didn't know where I was going, but I wasn't tired of being a vet. So I literally sat down and like wrote a list and chatted with family and friends. I think kind of anything you can do to kind of clear your head and is helpful. But for me, I got tired of what I was doing and I knew I wanted to make a shift. So I made a list and kind of sorted out short-term and long-term goals. And for me, I was like, okay, I still like practicing. I think I still want to be in the clinic. And that is why I shifted to general practice, because I knew I could do that and kind of take a break and a step back. But at my core, I wasn't tired of doing the medicine. I just needed to shift gears, and that was really helpful.
Mm-hmm. And I love that you mentioned the list, because I feel like that's such a good tool, I guess you could say, for making decisions, like visually seeing the pros and the cons and all that stuff, especially when you're burnt out. Because when you're really burnt out, I find that the hardest thing too is even making decisions in that state of mind is just like challenging. So when you made the list, like what were your emotions like? Like, obviously it was a difficult thing, but did you think about how you were feeling at all? Or was it more of a logical thing too, like emotions or logic?
Yeah, it was a little bit of both. I mean, I'd like to point out, you know, when I felt like I was burnt out, I learned later that can be temporary. So if you think of yourself as like a battery, you know, my battery was on zero at that time. But I kind of wrote down the list and as far as things that were going to recharge me. So what things about my job did I enjoy? What things about veterinary medicine refilled my battery and made me feel like I could do a good job and want to go to work? So I wrote those things down, and that list is kind of what got me, you know, back into the clinic and, you know, kind of shifted my gears. Like, okay, I really enjoy, we had an ultrasound machine, so like just checking for like free fluid from emergency cases, and other little things here and there. I wanted really trivial things, like I didn't want paper records, but I just made pros and cons. So some of it was logical, some of it was, you know, quote unquote frivolous, but you kind of shave it down and take a look at the whole picture and say, what am I looking for? And that's kind of what made me shift back into the clinic.
And what have you learned about derm throughout your time there that has changed your perspective on your career in the future? Like, has anything kind of stood out to you that you're like, wow, this is, I didn't expect this, and now I'm happy that I made this choice, or vice versa?
You mean in my current position now that I've gotten into residency?
Yeah, like right now, in this very moment.
Yeah, I would say, so I've now done a derm internship, and I'm halfway through my second year of residency, and I've felt like my little lists and whatnot have kind of shifted me where I need to be. I feel like I've learned that there are so many different things that we just don't really get in school, because I only had maybe 2 weeks total of dermatology, just how our curriculum was set. And I feel like, you know, there's so many autoimmune diseases. There are a couple of cancers, probably not as much as Danielle will eventually be treating, but there's a few things that I can treat and diagnose, and so many things that aren't well trained for a basic general practitioner out there, that I'm now gaining the expertise that I didn't know I was missing. And I just, it makes me want to go to work. So I'm really excited about where I am.
Awesome. And Danielle and Dana as well, like, feel free to answer this question, but does social media play a role at all, you think, when younger professionals are deciding the direction that they want to go in? Like, is there like a comparison aspect that people face that might sway them in one way or the other?
I think Instagram especially has played a big role in the young veterinary profession recently. I noticed that a lot of my classmates have wanted to make like a vet med account or personalize their personal social media account to gear a little bit more for vet med. And I also started a little bit including my vet med journey into my personal Instagram. And I felt like it has helped me network with many different people, and especially like where location may be limited. For example, I'm located in Oregon right now, and I can't meet with specific veterinary professionals who are in the fields that I'm interested. Social media has definitely made it very easy for me to send a private message to them and connect with them. And I feel like a lot of the veterinary professionals in Instagram, at least, are very willing to share their knowledge and experience to the younger generations. So I think it's, as weird as it might sound nowadays, I think social media is such a strong tool for young professionals to find people or mentors in the fields that they're interested and dabble in it, and even lock some shadowing opportunities with them. So I would say that personally, it has swayed me into the direction that I was interested, and I have found great connections there as well.
Yeah, I definitely agree, Dana. Like, I have, I was trying to find a rotation in Australia that was kind of more oncology based, and I found someone on Instagram, and I just asked like, oh, do they take students? And said I was interested in oncology, and she said, yes, we do. And it's actually the only, one of the only hospitals in Australia that actually does medical oncology, radiation oncology, and has a surgical oncologist. So I think it's just a really good opportunity for people to find connections and just find out about places they never knew. I would have never found that hospital looking on the internet. So I think it's a really good opportunity that people looking into things should look at. And a lot of people share their personal experience, so it's good to know how people got there, what they did, and that it's okay if sometimes you don't do the path exactly like you're supposed to, or don't get the residency right away. Like, people still get the specialty.
Yeah, I definitely think that's a good point because, you know, often we feel like our career path has to be like linear. You know, I go to this school, graduate, get an internship or externship, and then get a job, and then et cetera. But, you know, you never know who you're going to meet or how you're going to meet them. And there's always opportunities out there to learn and then also switch gears, like some of you were saying as well. I wanted to ask you about feeling discouraged because mental health is obviously a huge topic in the med world. And is there ever a moment where you're feeling really, really discouraged? You're still really passionate about the specific field that you're in, but you're feeling really discouraged to the point where you almost like feel like a block of like, I don't want to move forward, or I don't know if I can move forward. And if so, like, how do you get past that little roadblock? I guess it's similar to burnout, but in this case, I feel like it's more, my question is more about like the mental health side of it. Like,
I can give this one a shot. So this past July was like a really big, I had a lot of projects going on residency wise. And so I was trying to get a case report done, which is essentially like writing a 20-page paper that gets reviewed by other dermatologists and graded. I got my research project started at the same time, and I had two or three presentations, and I didn't get my case report done. So I didn't get submitted, but it'll get submitted later. But at the time it felt like a big failure because I had worked, you know, I spent probably 8+ hours on that along with trying to get everything else done. And, you know, I certainly can say I took a mental hit from that. And for a while, I just didn't feel like doing anything. Like I was going through the motions. I would go to work. I still did what I needed to do to kind of live and baseline things, but I wasn't super happy with myself for a bit. And what kind of got me out of that was, you know, multiple things. Exercising is really helpful for my mental health, and I kind of get the endorphins and feel like I'm physically moving. It's just helpful. Hanging out with friends, trying to act like a normal person. And I can honestly say I'm also actively looking for a therapist to help. So I think looking for help in any way that you can find it is good. And you know, trying things that work for you that kind of get you out of that space is helpful. And understanding that you can kind of move forward without having all the answers. And, you know, you don't have to be perfect and you shouldn't expect that, but you know, doing what you can some days is enough.
Oh, I love that answer. Doing what you can some days is enough. That should be like a t-shirt or something.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was also wanted to ask you all how COVID affected your career paths. Like, did that play any kind of role in the direction that you wanted to go, or did it just was it just like another obstacle kind of thing?
I can give this a shot. For me personally, it definitely was more than an obstacle. One of my other passions that I mentioned was wildlife, med, and international. So I had some places that I definitely did want to travel, but with COVID, obviously international travel plans were all canceled. So that was quite discouraging. But I think it was still nice to know that there's always opportunities out there. So I just wanted to add on to Dr. Jeff's answer from the previous question that I feel like people should just remember that vet med is not just your life, like it shouldn't define your life, and it's not a race. So if that's your passion, but if things are just not working outright because of personal issues or just life events, I think people should just remember that that chance will eventually come. So that's how I try to push myself when COVID all started, that even if I can't travel now, and if I'm still passionate, even if after I graduate, I will find opportunities that I will be able to utilize to travel and help out at different countries. And I will just find a way if that's what I really want to do. So that's how I personally like convince myself to get over it.
Yeah, for sure. And that's really like, that's good advice that you have. I feel like for you, like I'm curious, is there is there a change in people's mentality, have you noticed, with integrative medicine since COVID as well? Like, since, you know, people are doing more research on health and trying to find different options for themselves, is it the same for their pets as well?
Well, that's a very interesting question. I personally don't know if I've seen like a drastic change for better or for the worse, but definitely people have been reading a lot on the internet. I think it became an option for people, but I think a lot of the general public still doesn't realize that, for example, like you can practice acupuncture on animals. But I shadowed an integrative veterinarian, and she told me that the demand is still high compared to COVID, but I think there was already a high demand in during COVID time in just in general in vet med. So I wouldn't be able to answer to say like, yeah, there was a drastic change, but I know that people have started to think about like alternative options for themselves, but I don't know if that reached all the way to their pets. Sorry.
No, that's okay. I guess time will tell as well, you know, studies and all kinds of things might come out and we'll revisit the question in a few years. But I wanted to ask you all just one last question about this specific, the passion topic. And then we do a little Q&A with you guys. That's like more fun. But the passion question is, what if somebody just doesn't have a passion, like a specific passion in vet bed? Like they want to do, I know general practice is really popular, but what if they feel like, I don't know, and I really just am not like really interested in one side of things. I'm kind of all over the board, and that kind of freaks them out a little bit, or maybe they're overwhelmed. Do you have any advice for somebody like that?
I would just say take it day by day, because in vet school, you're exposed to a lot of things. So before vet school, I had an absolute hatred for not oncology, for surgery. And I realized, so I did a rotation and I got to do spay, neuter, and like soft tissue surgery. And I really liked that. And I realized that I didn't hate surgery as a whole, just like the orthopedics aspect. And I do like soft tissue. So you can surprise yourself. You can go in and, you know, as long as you're open to trying things, you do get exposed to things. And usually during your final year, you can kind of pick what passions you might have. If you're, you know, debating between wildlife, you could do a wildlife rotation, and then you can do a specialty rotation and just kind of see what you actually like. So just being open-minded, and you get experience a lot in vet school of things that you might not realize that you were passionate about or like that you could make a career out of.
Yeah, for sure. That's such a good answer. I feel like, yeah, just being open and not giving up is important too. So yeah, we normally do a Q&A at the end of each podcast. It's just like a couple of quick questions that are very simple to answer. And I guess we'll just start with you, Dr. Jeff. So first of all, what's your ultimate career goal as of now?
So obviously passing boards and becoming a dermatologist, but aside from that, definitely want to be a huge speaker. So I'm excited for these conferences to come back.
Oh, that's a good one. So speaker, like, would it be specifically about derm, or would it include other aspects?
Certainly primarily derm. And then if they're, you know, I love just encouraging other people, and we'll probably hit, you know, maybe a few other topics as well. And, you know, work-life balance and that type of thing, I always think is fun.
That's awesome. Okay, so Danielle, do you have a quote or a philosophy that you live by?
Oh gosh, that's a hard one. I do. I think that everything happens for a reason. And sometimes in the moment, it's kind of hard to accept that. But I do think the path that I've taken is how it's meant to be. For example, I took 3 years off between undergrad and vet school because I convinced myself I didn't want to go because I was just afraid of being rejected, and I got over it and applied and got in. So just everything happens for a reason. But if I would have went to vet school right after undergrad, I don't think I would be as happy.
Wow, that's such a good one. That's, yeah, taking some time sometimes to for yourself is so important. but also the fact that you said that you were scared of failure, that's, we could do a whole podcast on that because I feel like that's such a big thing, right? Like one thing about passions is that it's exciting and you love it so much that there's always that possibility that, you know, you might fail in whatever way, shape or form. And that's scary. So thank you. And Dana, yours is, who inspires you to continue to make a change within the industry?
Well, that's a hard one.
I'm just like bringing them at you. I'm sorry.
No, but I have to give it to, it's multiple people, but I had a pretty strong pre-vet community in my undergrad university. I felt like I came into undergrad like being like, okay, yeah, vet med, animal science sounds fun, but if it wasn't for the like juniors and seniors that I met and who took me under their wing, I really give it to them. Like, I don't think I would have come this far. And if they didn't like push me to continue doing my best, like I would not have made it to vet school. I think they read all my essays, they prepped me for interview questions, and they led me to like networking connections. So I really appreciate all their effort. So some of them are not veterinarians now, some went to like animal research, but still involved with animals. And I really appreciate the community that I met. So yeah, I want to say thank you to them.
Oh, that was so great. Awesome. Thank you. So my last question is for all of you. It's just, you know, where can people find you online, social media, all of that stuff?
So if you want to find me, I'm mostly on Instagram, Derm Dr. Jeff, DermDoctorJeff. It's the easiest place to find me.
I'm also on Instagram. I have a vet account, Dr. Danielle. So DoctorDanielle.
Yes, and I also have an Instagram account. It's Metanoia, so MetanoiaYUU. For anyone who's interested in what Metanoia means, it's just like a transformative change of heart.
Oh, wow. That's good. I love that. I feel like it suits you. So thank you, everyone. I really appreciate you being with me. And thank you to our next pod listeners as well. Remember, you are the future. So join us next month for another in-depth talk.